For any size donation before December 1st, we'll send you my 2022 Advent Devotional Booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And we'll send you my new Advent Devotional Booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Have you ever played the telephone game? Think about it. You whisper something in someone's ear, and they do it to another, and they do it to another, and so on and on and on. And then you compare at the end what was said at the beginning, and it's usually hysterically off. Against this propensity of humans to enlarge and mishear, we are given the sacred scriptures as the bulwark for what is authentic in tradition.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 2 Thessalonians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Heavy stuff last time, remember? St. Paul had clearly spoken to the Thessalonians about what restrains the coming of the Antichrist, and that was the actual Roman Empire itself. But when that fell, then a power vacuum was created in Rome, and the papacy would step into it and gradually extend its claim over all temporal and spiritual authority, even insisting that for eternal salvation, it was absolutely necessary for every single soul to be subject to the Roman pontiff. Also, remember Zasa's caveat that this doesn't mean that the papacy is the final form which the Antichrist may assume, but that it is clearly one of his guises, and that is apparent in the history of the world up to the present. The Antichrist will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus with his breath or spirit of his mouth, that is, by his word, his gospel being preached. This is what brings the Antichrist to nothing, despite all his fake miracles and signs and false teachings. The Lord Jesus will finally put the Antichrist out of commission on the day of his coming in judgment, and then those who believed the wicked deception and refused to love God's truth as revealed in his word will fall with the lawless one. Enough of the bad news, though. Now Paul turns to the joy that is always running just beneath the surface of these two letters. A reading from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by spoken word or by our letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to ponder these next words together? Let's turn to it, verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. But. It's such a great word for divorcing what follows from what came before. Honey, I would love to go with you to the store, but. Don't really need to say anything more, right? So, in contrast to the people who will be deceived by the lying miracles of the Antichrist and who will believe the lie, particularly the lie that they're saved by their works, in contrast to them, Paul praises God for these Thessalonians, who are indeed people loved by God, chosen by him to be among the first fruits of the saved. That is, to be among the first harvest of those whom the gospel of Jesus Christ has reaped in this age. And their salvation came to them through the Holy Spirit doing what he does, making them holy, by bringing them to belief in the truth, not the lie that they must do this or that to earn the kingdom and make their way into it, but the truth that Jesus Christ and his perfect and pure keeping of the law is their very righteousness before God, fulfilled in his death and resurrection, given them in baptism, constantly placed upon them by the preaching of the truth and by the gift of the supper. As Jesus himself had prayed on the night before he suffered, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 14. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To this what? To this sanctification, this being made holy, which the Spirit works by the truth of God's word. This is what our gospel, by which Paul means the gospel he, Timothy, and Silvanus preached to them, this is what the gospel has called them to, and all of that, so that they may obtain, may come to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That means seeing his glory, but also sharing in the glory, which he indeed has won for us all. Do you see now why the third article of the Creed in the small catechism of the Lutheran Church proclaims, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith in the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The Holy Spirit calls through the gospel in order to do his sanctifying work in our lives. Verse 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Uh-oh. I thought the scriptures were always warning us against traditions. I mean, remember how Jesus confronted the Pharisees? Matthew 15, verse 6. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Or remember how St. Paul could warn the Colossians, Colossians 2, 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Well, in those passages, tradition is something opposed to the word and wisdom of God given us in his holy word. But note that here, in 2 Thessalonians 2, and actually in many places in St. Paul, tradition manifestly is not in opposition to the word. Here it's not a pejorative term at all, but a good one. Paul tells them, and us too, to hold firmly to the traditions, that is, to everything which he, Silas, and Timothy had delivered to them, had handed over to them. That, by the way, is the very notion of tradition, to hand on to another what one has received. And this meant not merely for them to stand fast in and hold tight to what Paul had written in this letter and in the previous, but also what he taught them while he was there among them, ministering to them. We often forget this, but the apostolic preaching was first oral before it was put into writing. The problem, of course, is that we have no access to what that oral preaching is, save through what has come down to us in the sacred scriptures. These preserve both Paul's oral words, for example, his sermons as recorded in Acts, and his own written instructions to the congregations, his epistles. A problem arose over the centuries when sometimes teachings would make their way into the church under the guise of being oral tradition, but which had zero grounding in the sacred scriptures themselves. Let me give you some examples. the proclamation of the Virgin Mary's assumption into heaven, or her supposed immaculate conception? And what about purgatory and the power of indulgences, or the invocation of saints and the sacrifice of the Mass? These are all held by their proponents to be derived from oral apostolic tradition. But when these traditions are weighed against the sacred scriptures, they come up wanting. Now, this does not mean that all innocent ceremonies are to be rejected. We make the sign of the cross on our morning and evening prayers. We recite the Apostles' Creed. We have received a tradition of how to bless our tables and return thanks to God, and so on and on. None of these innocent ceremonies set themselves up as doctrines to be believed on pain of eternal condemnation, though. As Henry Eyster Jacobs, a 19th century Lutheran theologian, put this so very well, tradition without a written record whereby to test it inevitably becomes corrupt. Scripture, therefore, is not to be brought to tradition as the standard according to which it is to be tested, but tradition is constantly to be tested by Scripture. The final appeal is to the written record. Have you ever played the telephone game? Think about it. You whisper something in someone's ear, and they do it to another, and they do it to another, and so on and on and on. And then you compare at the end what was said at the beginning, and it's usually hysterically off. Against this propensity of humans to enlarge and mishear, we are given the sacred scriptures as the bulwark for what is authentic in tradition. Verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. What a comforting prayer or benediction this is. Note well the grounding on which St. Paul asks this petition. It is that our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father have loved us and have given us eternal comfort and good hope and done it all through grace. So both the eternal comfort and the good hope, they rest on the gift of grace, on God's great unmerited favor to us, the giving of his Son to be our Savior. This alone is what comforts the troubled and fearful conscience. This and this alone is what imparts a forward-looking and joyful expectation, a hope of eternal life which never ends. This is the gift of grace in Christ alone. And because of it, Paul prays for them that God would comfort their hearts and establish them in every good work and word. See then, it's not the good work and word that caused the comfort. That could never be. It's rather the inverse. It's the comfort that comes from grace, which results then in the good work and word of their lives. And on that joyful grace note, we'll stop for today. Next up, St. Paul, having prayed for them, will ask for their prayers on his behalf and on behalf of Timothy and Silas, that the word may speed ahead and be honored with the same wonderful reception it had among the Thessalonians. Do you see the apostle's heart? It's always for the spread and the triumph of the word. But for that to happen, he also needs their prayers, that they would be kept safe from wicked and evil men, since not all people are open to the faith, and there are some who will work with might and main to destroy it. Still, Paul is confident in this. The Lord Jesus is faithful. He will establish and guard the Thessalonians against the evil one. And so he is sure that they are doing and will do all which he has commanded them from the Lord. And he turns one more time to pray for them, that the Lord would direct their hearts into God's love and to Christ's steadfastness, that they would stand firm. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.